ऋषभ उवाच नायं देहो देहभाजानृलोके कष्टान् कामान् अर्हते विड्भुजान् ये तपो दिव्यं पुत्रकायेन सत्वम् शुद्धे तस्माद् ब्रह्मसौख्यं त्वनन्तम् स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव टोल्ड हिज सन्स माय डियर बॉयज ऑफ ऑल द लिविंग एंटिटीज हु हैव एक्सेप्टेड मटेरियल बॉडीज इन दिस वर्ल्ड वन हु हैज बीन अवॉर्डेड दिस ह्यूमन फॉर्म should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity one's heart is purified and when one attains this position he attains eternal blissful life which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. Purport. In this verse, Lord Rishabhdev tells his sons about the importance of human life. The word Deha Bhak refers to anyone who accepts a material body, but the living entity who is awarded the human form must act differently from animals. Animals like dogs and hogs enjoy sense gratification by eating stool. After undergoing severe hardships all day, human beings are trying to enjoy themselves at night by eating, drinking, having sex, and sleeping. At the same time, they have to properly defend themselves. However, this is not human civilization. Human life means voluntarily practicing suffering for the advancement of spiritual life. There is of course suffering in the lives of animals and planet and plants, which are suffering due to their past misdeeds. However, human beings should voluntarily accept suffering in the form of austerities and penances in order to attain the divine life. After attaining the divine life, one can enjoy happiness eternally. After all, every living entity is trying to enjoy happiness. But as long as one is encaged in the material body, he has to suffer different kinds of miseries. A higher sense is present in the human form. We should act according to superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness and go back to Godhead. It is significant in this verse that the government and the natural guardian, the father should educate subordinates and raise them to Krishna consciousness. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, every living being suffers in this cycle of birth and death perpetually. To relieve them from this bondage and enable them to become blissful and happy, bhakti yoga should be taught. A foolish civilization neglects to teach people how to rise to the platform of bhakti yoga. Without Krishna consciousness, a person is no better than a hog or dog. The instructions of Rishabhdev are very essential at present moment. People are being educated and trained to work very hard for sense gratification, and there is no sublime aim in life. A man travels to earn his livelihood, leaving home early in the morning, catching a local train, being packed in a compartment. He has to stand for an hour or two in order to reach his place of business. The place of business. Then again, he takes a bus to go to the office. At the office, he works hard from 9 to 5. And then again, he takes 2 or 3 hours to return home. After eating, he has sex and goes to sleep. For all these hardships, his only happiness is a little sex. Yan maithunadi gruhamedi sukham hi tuchham. Rishabhdev clearly states that human life is not meant for this kind of existence, which is enjoyed even by the dogs and hogs. Indeed, dogs and hogs do not have to work so hard for sex. A human being should try to live in a different way and should not try to imitate dogs and hogs. The alternative is mentioned. Human life is meant for tapasya, austerity, and by penance. By tapasya, one can get out of the material clutches. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness devotional service, his happiness is guaranteed eternally. By taking to bhakti yoga devotional service, one's existence is purified. The living entity is seeking happiness life after life, but he can make a solution to all his problems simply by practicing bhakti yoga. Then he immediately becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah tektva deham punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So, we are beginning a very important section in Srimad Bhagavatam, and coming 8 or 10 or 15 verses are going to give us very nectarian instructions, like medicines, which will be very helpful for our own spiritual lives and for everyone. These instructions are being given by Lord Rishabhdev to their sons. Actually, Lord Rishabhdev was a king and his sons were princes. A prince, many princes, so princes, and they were about to become kings. Therefore, we see these instructions are very important. Even though Lord Rishabhdev is a big king, owner, proprietor, enjoyer, controller of such a big tract of land, and his sons, including Bharat Maharaj and others, are also going to become kings in the future. But what instructions they are receiving are very important. That is the real Vedic culture. Here Rishabhdev is telling his sons that, first thing he is telling, that those who have got these bodies, their life is not meant for sense gratification. As His Grace Bhavanand Prabhu was yesterday telling us, that they have been taught, or we also have been taught since childhood, that our everything is meant for sense gratification. The government tells us the same thing. Our neighbors tells us the same thing. Our parents teach us the same thing. And somehow or other, try to enjoy the senses. And therefore, we see, if we ask the people, why are you making such a big setup for human society, so-called civilization? Then the answer is given. You see, there are big economic problems. Problem of food, problem of hunger, problem of disease, problem of house, clothing. Srila Prabhupada tells us in Ishopanishad that we should not think that these economic problems are very important only for humans. In all the species of life, they have their economic problems. Their economic problems of dogs are there. They also require some food. They also require some place to sleep, some sex, and things like that. Every species. For us, for human beings, it may seem that the economic problems of humans are very important. But for a sparrow, it has its own economic problems. And for a lizard, it has its own economic problems. It has to solid. They also have to make their, tax their brain where to make the house. They also have to tax the brain how to defend ourselves from our enemy species. They have to also have to tax the brain how to get my food. So we see these economic problems are there in all the 84 million species. It's not only that, only human beings' economic problems are very important. And all other species' economic problems are not important. They are all equally important. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada tells that, but in the other species, the economic problems are solved. They don't have to work. It's very easy. The sparrows, they get up in the morning and they just move around here and there and they get their food and eat it. And they defend themselves by just flying. And then they have their, they also mate and lay eggs. They make their house just while moving around here and there, make a nest. They have a new house every year. So they also solve their problems. Human beings think that they have to work very hard. Like Prabhupada says in this purport, get up early in the morning, travel in the local train, stand in it, packed for an hour or two, then take a bus. No species, they just directly search for their sense gratification. They go out, try to get their food. They go out and make some place to rest. They go out and mate and procreate children. In this way, we see human beings only think. Except human beings, no species does some job for 8 hours to earn money to solve their economic problems. They just go out and their problems that Krishna has arranged. There is some food, there is some opposite sex, there is some place to sleep, and there is some ways for them to defend. Human beings think, oh, I have to make big castles or big aerodromes and big atom bombs to defend myself, or I have to make big civilization made up of road, rail, air networks, telecommunication network to defend myself, to get some food. If I don't have this big network, I will not get my food. No, except one species, 83,099,999 species, they don't have to make up such a colossal hoax, Srila Prabhupada says, of realization to solve their food, clothing, meeting and place for stay. It's there. Only human beings think under illusion that they have to do all these things to get there. It's already there. It's already economic problems of dog. Prabhupada makes one difference. He says economic problems of dogs and hogs are solved in a very nasty way. They have to always fight with each other. Their diseases are cured in a very horrible ways. So the problems are solved, but the economic problems of animals are solved in a very nasty way. And economic problems of human beings, some arrangement is made that they can be solved in a little better way. Just a little better way, a little polished way. So we understand, as this first instruction given by Lord Rishabhdev to his great to be future king's son, is that this life is not meant for solving the economic problems, for working hard. Kashtan kaman arhate. As the Kali Yuga is progressing, the average human being has to work more and more harder. Day shifts, night shifts, odd shifts. Actually, there are only 3 shifts. Even first shift, second shift, and night shift. Now, as per this new global culture is coming, so now there are odd shifts. Evening 7 to night 2. Or something like that. So what do you do at 2 o'clock in the morning? At least there are night shift, night 11 to morning 7, and then daytime they can take rest and like that. So odd shift, evening, say morning 3, the shift has to begin at morning 3 o'clock, till day 10 o'clock. Something. So we see this, as the Kali Yuga is progressing, this work culture is becoming more and more harder. You have to work more and more harder to maintain your same position. As once his Gaur Govind Prabhu was telling me, he said he was working in his company in Singapore, and then even sometimes late in the night, 10 o'clock, he would be free from the job and would be about going in the bus into his home, and he had to keep his pager or mobile on. And just about when he is about to get down from the bus near his flat, the company may call him, come back, there is some important work. And at 12 o'clock, he has to again start from his house to come back to his office. And as the days are going to pass, as this Kali Yuga, this exploitative mentality is going to increase, the people will have to work more and more harder just to maintain these economic problems. Just I was there in these Western countries. The people there, they live a so-called opulent life. But now they don't have any choice in between. They have to work very hard, very hard, very hard. Both husband has to work, wife has to work. Husband has to work from morning 4 to morning 11, and wife has to work. So there is no meeting actually. Because husband goes one time out, the wife goes another time. So when the husband is home, wife is out. And the wife is home, the children are out. And things like that. So they just, and therefore, and they have made a very opulent life. Everyone has a big house, accepted. And every home has 2 cars. But then, they can't avoid working very hard. There is no step in between. If you don't work hard, then you are out. You are nowhere in the society. You just can't live in the society. You have to have 2 cars to be in the society. You have to have basic standards. They have that good standards. But just like, there cannot be any compromise. They say, okay, we'll try to live simply. That's not possible. You just can't live without owning a car. To get anything, you have to have a car. You just can't say, okay, let me go next door to have a shop. There are no shops next door. They're all supermarkets at one place, which you have to drive 10 miles, 20 miles. You just can't say, okay, let me walk out. Like here, next door is one medical shop. Outside, there is fruit shop on the handcart. This side is some shoe shop. Here, everything is there. You can just go out and things are there. You can live without automobile. But there, everyone has to have automobile. So life seems opulent. But you have to work very hard equally for that. So that will come. You may say, oh, everyone has a car. There are three people. Every father has a car. Mother has a car. Children has a car. You have to understand, this is forced upon them. If you don't work so hard to live on that level, then you are nowhere in the society. You have to be right on the street as a beggar. You can't be anywhere in between. So this is the effects of Kali Yuga which are coming. And King Rishabhdev is telling that everyone, the prime aim of human life is not kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujani, but tapo divyam. Now what is that? Perform austerities. Tapasya. See, working hard is there. You can't avoid working hard in this world. Either you have to work hard for sense gratification or work hard for, not work hard, perform austerities. For divyam, for a higher aim, as he is saying. Perform austerities for devotional service. By which, what will happen? Shuddhe tasmat. One's heart is purified. And Brahma Saukhyam, he attains an eternal blissful life, Anantam, which is not ending. So therefore we see this whole plan of Varnashram Dharma is to get purified. Sometimes people think, while doing our Varnashram Dharma, there is something like karma, something like yajna, something like tapasya. All these things are a part of Varnashram Dharma, yes. We do Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and then we do some tapasya, we do some yajna, we do some karma. But in Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, as per the teachings of Lord Krishna and commentary by Acharyas, the most important tapasya or most important sacrifice is not doing some Agnihotra sacrifice in the morning and fasting on some day. The most important tapasya or sacrifice is to do our prescribed duties throughout our life. Here we see this verse. Third chapter, text 14, people are saying, Lord Krishna is telling us, Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyat anna sambhava, yajnyat bhavati parjanyo yajnya karma samudbhava. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. Srila Vishwanatha Thakur says, the main aspect of yajna of our life is to do our prescribed duties. Accept our prescribed duties and perform them. That is the biggest yajna. And therefore he says in third chapter further, Krishna says, Shreyan Swadharma Viguno Paradharma Swanushtita. Because Krishna knew, just like Arjun is showing this mentality. He says, oh, this fighting is very difficult, so I don't want to fight. Sometimes people, they come and they say, we want to join Brahmachari Ashram. He says, why? Because this, my work is very difficult. My boss is very bad person. Or something like that. Arjuna was thinking this fighting is a very not a good option, a big troublesome engagement. So I want to renounce it. So therefore Krishna is telling here, or Vishwanatha Thakur is explaining in these verses, the most important tapasya or yajna is to perform our prescribed duty itself. And why? Because this prescribed duty is karma brahma bhavan vidhi. Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam. Because people may ask, these prescribed duties are mundane. Kshatriya's job is mundane. Avaishya's job is mundane. He has to do business. But even though these are apparently mundane, but these help us in purification. Because karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. This prescribed duties come from Vedic scriptures. And Brahma Aksharam Samudbhavam. These Vedic scriptures come from Supreme Lord Krishna. Therefore, although these prescribed duties are mundane, but because we are following the orders of Krishna, they also help us in purification. And this aim of purification, Krishna mentions in 5th chapter, text number 11. He says, Kayena mansa buddhya kevalai indraye rapai. Yogina karma kurvanti sangam tattva atma shuddhaye. He says, Yogina karma kurvanti sangam tattva atma shuddhaye. A yogi is abandoning attachment, act with body, mind and intelligence, and even with senses, only for the purpose of purification. So as King Rishabh Dev is telling here, the same aim is told here in Bhagavad Gita, that person should not abandon his prescribed duties and should do his prescribed duties for what? Kayena mansa buddhya kevala indriye. A yogi should do his duties by his mind, body, intelligence and senses. Why? Without attachment. Why? Sangam tyaktva atma shuddhaye. Or they say shuddhe tasmat. The same words are used. The people should not abandon their duties out of fear or laziness. They should do their duties for self-purification. Because by working for Krishna, one gets purified. That is the most difficult job in this age of Kali especially. Because people are naturally very proud and egoistic. To accept our duties and do it is very difficult. The whole idea is competition. Now Krishna specifically told, perform over your own duties, because he wanted to avoid that people being acting whimsically. I will do this, I will do that. Or rebellious. To avoid rebelliousness and whimsicality, Krishna told that better perform your own duties, although imperfectly, rather than performing others' duties perfectly. And Krishna also knew, if a man suddenly changes his nature and works against his nature, maybe even in a better way for a short time, but it can't last long. Just like he was telling Arjun, you are thinking, I will not fight and go to forest. He said, you will go to forest and there you will find somebody and fight with him. So you can't avoid that. So similarly, sometimes you may think, I will act against my nature. See, he is doing in material activity, maybe job or business or computer so nicely. Let me also do, competing with him. But then we can't last on that level long, and then again there will be frustration. So Krishna specifically told this Shayan Sadharma Viguno to avoid whimsicality, rebelliousness and frustration after some time. So the greatest tapasya in this world, as it is said in tapasya, Krishna explains various types of tapasya in 17th chapter as well. Tapasya of the body, tapasya of the mind, tapasya of the words. The greatest tapasya is to accept our position and perform our prescribed duties. As in this Sindhi community, there is one word, they call it, His Grace Premnidhi Prabhu was telling me one day, there's one word called Kabul. The greatest austerity is to accept Krishna's will. They say Kabul. It's what, they're not rebellious against Krishna's will. To accept Krishna's control and His will is one of the greatest austerity. Rather than rebelling against Krishna's will and His modes of working, Krishna is working perfectly. Om Purnam Adha, Purnam Idam. This material world is perfect and complete, and all arrangements within this material world are perfect and complete. So, as this it is said, to accept Krishna's will is greatest austerity. Okay, and that is what is said. Kabul means, Krishna says in this 17th chapter, austerity of mind. Mana prasada saumyatvam. The satisfaction of the mind is one of the austerities of mind, Krishna says. So, accepting Krishna's will is very important. In this world, we see, in the Western countries, I was there, during Christmas time, when this is supposed to be the most happy time, is the most frustrating time for them. If people are so much under thinking, as he gave me this gift, I gave him that gift, just rather than accepting what is happening in this world, there's so much comparison and competitiveness in this world. Today, I was hearing a few days back, even in India, there are people, or men and women, they are worried, especially women, they think that they just can't say that I am a housewife and I am raising my children very nicely. in the society. Or men can't say, okay, I'm doing some job. Or they just want to show off in the society. I have a big house. It's very difficult to accept, okay, I am doing a simple job and happily living. This whole society has become so competitive, so built up that you have to be on the top artificially. Or they teach the woman in the society, if you don't work, even though your husband may be earning 10 lakh rupees per month, you have to work, you have to show that you are also something big. You have to have your own house, own car. In that way, this satisfaction is very difficult. Just accepting Krishna's will. People think, oh, I should go there. Srila Prabhupada, he was there. He went to this Dai Nippon company in Japan. Gopinath Prabhu tells this story. And he met one marketing manager. So he asked him, what do you want to become? So this marketing manager took out his visiting card and placed it on the table. Then he took out his boss card, placed it on the top. Then he took out his boss's card and that way he just placed general manager, like few cards. Then he took out the card from the bottom, which was his own, and placed it on the top. And saying that I have to become this. So in this world, everyone wants to go to the top level. I don't say we should not try to progress, but at the same time, it's simply not possible that everyone can be on the top level. Now, how can everyone be the general managers in this world? There have to be other peoples. So in this world, people, this whole training of this whole culture or whole society is not just not to accept what is Krishna's will. And in this way, this big frustration, big anxiety, big suffering, just performing this tapasya, mana prasadat, sammatvam. Krishna says in this 17th chapter, it's quite useful to take a look, just remind us ourselves of what are the three types of austerities of the mind, body and words. Lord Krishna says here first about austerities of austerities of body. He says austerities of body consist in worshipping the Lord, Brahmanas, spiritual master and superiors like the father and mother, in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy and non-violence. So these are the austerities. To remain clean is a big austerity. To remain simple is a big austerity. And to remain celibate and non-violent. Many times this question of non-violence is raised. It's a big, big difficult thing. People so foolishly, they just can't understand this. If we just avoid violence at many places, unnecessarily, it's beneficial for all. Sometimes we see these children, two children, I always see everywhere. These two children, they fight against each other. You know how? One beats another, and then another beats another. And then again the first beats the second, and the second, there's no meaning. There's just one pinches another, and the second one pinches. You see, you have seen this word? They just keep on beating. One beats and he beats, and again beats. But the person can't understand that if I don't beat him one time, I will not get beaten 10 times in the future. He beats him once, but gets beaten 10 times in the future. Because the chain goes on. That is austerity. Non-violence here. The ego can't accept that I get beaten once more than I have beaten him once. And in that process, they both beat each other 10 times. And this is what happens between big Prabhupada says, this is exactly what happens between Churchill and Hitler. He says, Churchill, you drop one bomb on him. And then Hitler says, you drop 2 bombs on him. And then he can't accept, oh, he has dropped 2 bombs on my country. Let me drop 3 bombs on the other country. So this non-violence is austerity. From lowest level, like pinching, on the biggest level, on the dropping of some bombs or giving of some missiles. So this non-violence is austerity. Cleanliness is austerity. It has to be practiced. And then austerity of the speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others. And also in regularly reciting Vedic literatures. So these are austerity, to speak truthful, to speak pleasing. In this material world, the tendency is very strong to speak false for some small gains. But then, once speaking false for some small gains, we get completely entangled. We have to speak false many more times. Then to speak pleasing and words are very difficult in this material world. It's very easy to speak painful words. Then to speak which is beneficial for others. You think, why to tell him? Let him learn the whole bad way. But to speak which is beneficial for others is also very difficult. Because we can't see somebody else getting benefited by our, I want to be on the top. And to speak which is not agitating to others. And also regularly studying the scriptures. These are all austerities. And I was discussing what is satisfaction. Austerity of the mind, what is that? Satisfaction. Simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence. Again, here it is coming. Samshuddhir, bhava samshuddhir. That is also austerity of the mind. Purification of one's existence are the austerities of mind. So in this way we see, austerities have to be performed. Some people, they stick to the level of only austerities. They do so much tapasya in the cold. They may remain with bare clothes in the Himalayan mountains. In the summer, they may be in the fire, in the desert. But they forget that in that also they get entangled in the pride. They think they become very proud of their austerities. But the aim of austerities is not to become proud. Mana prasada sammatvam. The aim of austerity is to become simple, and more than that, further ahead, is to atma suddhi, to get purified, and more than that is to become devotee of Krishna. If our austerities are not taking us to become devotee of Krishna, they are like a great load which is just going to increase our pride and make us more and more drowned into this ocean of material existence. Therefore, these austerities are there. But for what? For self-purification. Sometimes we see people perform austerities even in so-called spiritual way. But by that, they become more hard-hearted and more offensive. The whole aim of austerity is to become Krishna conscious, to understand Krishna is the Supreme Lord and I am the servant of, or the servant of the servant of Supreme Lord. In this way only we can progress and be happy. Therefore, this satisfaction is there. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says in Ishopanishad, he says a simple God-conscious life is much, much better than colossal hoax of godlessness. It will not give you happiness and satisfaction. You can make a big civilization of aircrafts and machines and everything. But simply it will make your life dry and unsatisfied. It's complete. But a life of Krishna consciousness amongst devotees, His Holiness Radha Madhava was telling of a few days back, exchanging affection amongst devotees will only make you satisfied life. If you just live an austere life, a clean life, a civilized life, without God consciousness, it will not give us satisfaction. Sometimes as people, they are asking, what you saw in the Western countries, I was there sometimes back. One thing good which Indians can learn, very important, which was noticed, which is a part of this austerity, is cleanliness. It is amazingly clean. As Prabhupada says, our temple should be revolutionary clean. The habits are there. Just take something and throw everywhere. But at least somehow or other, they have maintained a clean society. That is what Indians or the spiritualists or devotees should and can learn. To be extremely clean, or at least in the external habits. They may not be clean in their internal habits, certainly. But as it is said, whatever can be learned, that should be learned. So in the external habits, they are extremely clean. And that is austerity, to remain clean in Indian civilization. It's just you spit anywhere, you just throw dirt anywhere. The whole society is a dustbin. Like that. It's where like everything is dustbin. You just eat fruits and throw the skin everywhere. That is what can be learned. And what we should be careful of? The civilization is highly civilized. There are everywhere machines. But in spite of that, the people are under anxiety and depressed and frustrated. Why? Because there are no affectionate dealings between human beings. Everyone, there is nothing. I saw everywhere, there just machines are there everywhere. You go on the road, on a toll booth, there are no human beings. You just pay, put some money, automatically gate opens. You drive in a car, I just talked to these people. In India, it's so nice. If you are driving and if you want to know where is this person's house, there you just stop the car and the side of the road, there are 10 people to help you out. You just ask them, where is this person's house, where is this lane, and they tell you. And there if you stop, there is no one on the road because everyone is in the car. You are worrying, where is this lane? There is no one on the road. They have made it clean, but there is no one on the road. And then you have to look out at the maps. And then in one car, I said, there was a navigator. The navigator has a small computer which has a whole complete detail of roads of whole Europe. And it will tell you, please take left. Stop on the right house, third house on the right. You have to feed your beginning address and the end address. And from that point to point, it will tell. No, take a left turn. No, go straight. On this roundabout, take. But this doesn't satisfy. In spite of all these things, people feel dry. Why? Because there are no loving exchanges between the people. They have all these machines. They have maps. They have navigators. And there are no human beings to talk with. That's the whole civilization. There are no human. They have everything on the machines. The machine, there's a beautiful man or woman in the navigator. She tells you. But you know, this is not. She tells you, no, there is a highway, be careful. All these things are coming because it is all fed. There are no human beings there. And then these children, they are making this life so dry because they have made such advancement. They can travel at 90 or 100 miles per hour, that is 180 kilometers per hour. We can't think of that. But then because of such a high speed, there are some more regulations for safety. And once I saw, I was completely amazed and see, what is this? You know, these children, small children, there is a rule. You can't, in India, I see so nicely our gurustas, they come on the car, the husband is there, the wife is there, children are nicely playing on the lap of mother, the mothers are exchanging love with the children, children are asking something. Even though they may be, sometimes mother may be chastising, but that exchange is there. Sometimes mother may be saying, no, I will not give you this thing to eat. But that exchange between mother and child is there. But there, because the cars travel at such a high speed, the children, the rule is there, you can't keep children on the lap. You have to keep them on the back seat with tied up in the belt. So when I saw once, there is mother and father in the front seat and children, I said, what is this? Children like a... they're like luggage parcel in the back seat. Two luggage parcels kept in the back seat. And if you want to drive 2 hours, children are 2 hours like this. They can't move. And then the children will cry. So what they do? They fit a small video screen. And the children can't look also anything. Because what they see in the front, the back seat of the father. That's there. So they put a small video screen. And they always give something to eat. Chocolate or lollipop or hamburger. So that's the whole thing that 2 hours the children do. Look at the videos. Like this, they are sitting, they can't move. 2 hours, look at the video screen and eat something. But here, I see such a wonderful. They may be traveling at half the speed. But there's so much affectionate dealing between the mother and the child. That's make up the child. That teaches the child. That gives the samskar on the child. This whole difference is there. The child gets the samskaras from the mother. You have to control your senses. You can't eat as per your demands. And there the child is sitting and you have to eat completely. All the 2 hours eating. Because how can he be happy? I was so nice. India so bad. The child is always on the lap of the mother. The training is there since the day one. But here the mother, as I said, the mother has to go out at different time, the father at different time, child at different time. So no samskaras are there. But cleanliness is there, extreme cleanliness, external cleanliness. So we see this tapasya has to be performed for Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if there is no Krishna consciousness, no exchange of love between the man and the devotees and devotees, then the life, even with tapasya and austerity, will not lead to purification. But will lead to more and more pride and ego. So here, we'll be certainly hearing more and more better and better verses in the coming days, which are each is like a nectarine instructions of Lord Rushabhdev. But we have to be very careful that the ultimate aim of all these instructions is to achieve Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it is a great failure. Hare Krishna. Somebody has some comments or questions. Granthraj, శ్రీమద్ భాగవతంకి శిల ప్రభుపాదకి